All right. Good morning, everybody. Let's have a word of prayer. We're getting into our service today. It's good to see all the faces out there. And hopefully this will be a great service and inspirational and good chance to connect, too. So let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for this day, the sunshine, the warm weather that's coming, Lord. We ask you to bless our church. Watch over those that are struggling right now, those that are not working, Lord. God, just take care of their needs, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that you would get us through this whole pandemic quickly. And God, may we take what we learn from this, Lord, to be better servants for you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. It's good to see everybody here. And I wanted to talk today about starting over. And this is about decision making. And in fact, it's more about making better decisions the second time. You know, we always talk about the fact that we want our kids, and as they grow up, to make good decisions. But as we get older, we find that it's always a second or third time where we need to make better decisions. And I thought about this mainly because, you know, we're all in the same unique situation to where, you know, we're dealing with this pandemic, we're dealing with the unknowns. Many folks, their job descriptions and things may change. Some may have to look for new employment. I think this is going to be a different environment after this is all over. You know, obviously, you know, even with the church ministry, we've had to make decisions and rethink things. And even after we're done here, we're looking forward to maybe using Zoom as a regular basis, even when we're in our services, such as the fact that you know, we've learned from this is Zoom works pretty good. And so we have our services in our building once we're back, but we can also live stream it on Zoom for those folks that may be ill at home, shut-ins, or maybe you're working and you want to take a half hour break to hear what's going on at church. So there's some good things that come about from this, though. But I want to talk about making better decisions a second time. I got a couple of verses I'm going to read, and I apologize to Sarah and Ari, who are going to put the PowerPoints on screen. I added these verses this morning just to begin with. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. James chapter 1, verse 5 says this, and it says this, says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. It will be given to you. And so when I think about those verses there and stuff, it makes me think about decision making. And when we make decisions, you know, obviously we need to include the Lord and what God wants for our lives. And especially the second time, I think that making better decisions a second or third time usually it involves a few different things. I want to give you real quick here three myths about decision making, especially the second time. And the first one is experience makes me wiser. And I think we've all found the fact that our experience sometimes we think should make us wiser and we make better decisions a second or third time. But many times what happens is that we seem to repeat the same mistakes, the same things over again. And so one of the myths is that experience makes us wiser. And I actually changed it to where it should be evaluated experiences make us wiser. When we evaluate our experiences, what we've gone through, it can definitely make us wiser. Another myth is this: since I know better, I'll do better. How many of us have done things and been, you know, something happened to us or whatever, where we knew before we got into it that we should not have done it. We should not have taken that job. We should not have entered that situation. We should not have entered that relationship. And we say, I knew better, but I didn't do better. And so sometimes knowing better does not necessarily mean we're going to make better decisions. And the last myth is this, is that time is against me. This is one I've learned over the years, especially when you're young and stuff and you're starting your family. You want to have everything as quickly as possible because you think you got to keep moving forward. You got to keep advancing. And as we get older, we sometimes think about this is that, you know, time is against me. I got to hurry up and make this decision, buy this purchase, you know, do this thing, join this club or whatever. But in all reality, time is our friend. And I've said before to people that if you're looking at making a decision and in all reality, you're not sure about it, not at peace about it, don't make the decision, because you can always make the decision down the road once you evaluate more information stuff. But once you made a decision, it's hard sometimes to go back from that. Talking about, you know, making the better decisions a second time, I was kind of researching through the scriptures. And one thing that I noticed in the scriptures is that every hero of the faith, and that's what I call them, these are characters in the Bible, they usually had two portions of their lives. They had the first part of their life, and then they had the second part of their life. And there was always that in-between time. I think about Moses. Moses is an individual who was raised in an Egyptian kingdom. He was, had great authority. He was part of the ruling body. But he was a Hebrew, as most of us know from history, from scriptures. And then he had about 40 years where he was displaced from Egypt. He was out in the wilderness on his own. And then this third part of his life, he came back to free up the Hebrew children from the nation of Egypt. But it was in that middle part of the time that he was able to hone his skills on making decisions and deciding what to do next. King David was the same way. He was anointed to be king of Israel, but there was a waiting period. The waiting period, he was serving in King Saul's household, but King Saul became very jealous, and so David had to go on the run for a number of years, for about 12 years. And during that time, he was able to look at himself, evaluate things, so that when he became the king of Israel and took the throne there, he was able to make better decisions. Joseph is a great character. I love the study of Joseph in the Old Testament. He was a kind of young kid who announced to his family that one day he's going to rule over them, and they weren't particularly thrilled with that, and so they sold him off into slavery, and for a number of years, he was wandering from serving in the Pharaoh's kingdom. He was wandering and at times in prison to where he had spent like 2 years in prison to reflect upon things, but it wasn't until the timing was exactly perfect that Joseph was given the authority that he was promised by God. And in that authority, he was able to learn about himself so that he could make better decisions. When his brothers finally came and he revealed himself, instead of taking animosity and taking revenge, he decided that he would care for his family. I imagine that if the timing had been 12 years before, he might have been more revengeful. And so during that time of downtime, he was able to evaluate and make better decisions. Peter was the same way in the New Testament. He went from denying Christ to being a very determined vessel of God to be used in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul was the same way. When God converted him, he converted to Christianity. He had a certain amount of time that he was away from everything to be able to learn who he was and be able to make better decisions. So I say all this for this reason. Many times we have phases in our lives. We have the initial phase, and of course, some of us, we get out of school, we go to college, we think we got everything going. We know all stuff. I know in the ministry, I felt when I got out of seminary that I knew everything about everything, but I had to go through a lot of downtime, sometimes crushing blows, sometimes defeats, to be able to really learn about what God wanted for my life. And then it helps you to make better decisions the second time so you don't repeat the past decisions. And one thing that I've learned that when we take time and we evaluate the situation and we are patient, we learn two basic things about God and ourselves. So one thing we learn is about divine destiny. I believe everybody, as a Christian, has a divine destiny. There's something that God has purposed for you to do. There's something that God has outlined for you to be involved in. At our midweek motivation, we had one person this past Wednesday night that talked about that. She had been going to school and taking the school to be a counselor and dealing with trauma. And I thought to myself, what a perfect time to be getting educated for that, because there's going to be a lot of folks after this dealing with PTSD. There's going to be a lot of fear and anxiety, and counselors trained professionally to be able to help those folks is going to be key. And I just thought to myself, what divine timing could that be? You learn your purpose and your destiny through these things. I think that when we go through the wilderness experience, downtime like we are now, some of the folks, you're going through job changes possibly, you're hoping to get back to work where you were. It may be a different change of vocation, but this is a time really to find out, God, what do you want me to do? Maybe it's a situation where you're in a vocation, you're working a job just for the income, but you always had a passion about doing something else. You always want to start your own business. You want to start your own, whatever it may be. And this is a time to where you can evaluate, you can be introspective about your life, and you can say, God, what is my divine destiny? And when we're all done with this, what do you want me to do? The second thing I think we learn about the times that we take our time when we evaluate and we take time to look inside is it definitely humbles us. It gives us humility. I know that when I look at every character I just mentioned, what's interesting about it, when they first came on the scene, they were very arrogant. Joseph is an example of that. God told him that one day he was going to rule the world, in a sense, and he was going to be a ruler over his brothers and father. And he boasted about that with that arrogant type of attitude. And God allowed him to go through certain things, the wilderness experience, the time in prison, the time away from family. He was rejected by his family. He was treated with injustice by the Pharaoh's house. And at the end of the day, when he finally came in that time where God had planned for him to be a ruler, we find a different character in him. He no longer was arrogant. He no longer was into himself. And when his brothers finally came, because they were starving, they were coming to Egypt, that where Joseph was now a ruler and a manager over all the economy, instead of Joseph taking revenge, as he might have as a younger person, when he had a time to decide a second time, to after the evaluation, after God put him through some things, he was able to be more intact with the fact that this was the divine direction by God, and he was humble about it. In fact, what he said to his brothers was this: when they were kind of fearful that he was going to maybe have revenge, he had all the power to put them in prison and stuff for what they had done. He said, "What you meant for bad, God meant for good." And I really sticks in my mind so much is that we get to a place to where we are evaluating what we've gone through and we're humble about it. And even though maybe somebody mistreated us, maybe the situation wasn't fair, maybe that employer did not treat you fairly in this whole situation, when you get done and it turns out better than you ever planned, is you can look back and say, what the world meant for bad, what my employer meant for bad, what that relationship meant for bad, God meant for good, and you can make better decisions. I think Paul puts it in a statement, and this is one of my favorite verses, and I'm going to share the verses with you, and they'll be on the screen here in a second, in two different translations. The first one is the NIV, which I use mostly in our Sunday talks, and then I'm going to give it to how it's written in the Amplified Bible. And the Amplified Bible simply is a translation that actually in the verses defines some of the wording, and it says this, Romans 8:28. For we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And I want to focus on that first phrase there, that we know all things God works for the good of those who love him. For those of us that follow Christ, those of us that, you know, are whatever your journey is, wherever you are spiritually, where we're seeking to follow God, there's a promise that we have here that Paul writes, that we know that all things are going to work out for good for those that love him. And then the last part, for those who have been called according to his purpose. And every one of us have been called according to his purpose. It says it this way in Romans 8:28, the Amplified Bible says, and we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and his purpose. And I like that phrase there where it says that as God, we're together as a plan. And so we're talking about decision making, and whether it's during this situation or in our lives anyways, but in all reality, we all make decisions starting off on life. But I think anybody who's lived a long enough time have realized that there's always that chance to make a secondary decision, to correct the past we may have been on, to be able to reevaluate where we're going. And usually during those times we're in that wilderness and we're struggling and we're discouraged, and maybe, you know, even during this time right now, this is a great time to be able to sit back, learn from what we're going through, reevaluate life as you know it, begin to say to yourselves and talk to yourself and speak to yourself these words that, listen, this is a time for me to reinvent what God wants for my life. And there is a divine purpose in this. You know, I think about folks that are in the fitness field. And I think one thing I've learned by this, by watching some folks recently do online training, they're beginning now to incorporate the spiritual aspect along with the physical aspect. And it's recreating how we do things. I think those folks that are, you know, that are laid off right now, and it's discouraging. Unfortunately, we have some help from the government, you know, some of the unemployment and stuff, and I hope it's working out for folks or whatever. But it's an opportunity to say, what is it truly that God wants me to do with my life? What is it I can do better with my life? And these are great times to make that second decision. So simply put, and I don't go along with these because it's very interesting talking to a screen, but I really wanted to emphasize this, is that we are making decisions through this. Even with our church here, we're going to be, you know, looking, making decisions about, you know, how we do ministry after this. There are going to be some things that are going to even be better. I've learned through this is that, and we've talked also about how do we connect our church family during the week? We want to hold a midweek service. We have small groups. We're going to do all those things there. But I thought to myself, one thing I got from this is learning this technology to be able to incorporate into our ministry. And I really believe with busy schedules, with mom and dads both working, with trying to raise a family, and a lot of you are now homeschooling, you're working with the teachers, obviously, but it's definitely changed the way we look at ministry. And I can see now through this, the learning experience, so we make better decisions a second time. We can use something like Zoom to be able to have Bible studies, to be able to have support groups. In fact, one thing I thought about is when this is all said and done, I think the church needs to be involved in offering support groups for folks that are recovering emotionally and have anxiety, and taking the use of folks in our church who have skills in those areas to work with other folks to get them through this. So when you're making decisions and you're in the downtime right now, pray about it. Ask God to give you understanding about your divine direction. And then when you come out of this, I think we're all going to be a lot more humble when we approach our ministry, our lives, and our work. So stay encouraged and use this time to be able to say, God, what's next? And I think that's going to be a positive thing for all of us. So God bless you, Tony. Take it from there.